Today on episode number 408 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, which you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/408. And we're talking with John Biscal of the Online Marketing and Communications Podcast about how you can boost your business with a podcast. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005, I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so much for tuning in. If you're new to the show, this is where we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to promoting, recording, producing, and all points in between. As you know, everything you need to launch a successful podcast you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com. If you're new to the show, I ask that you give me 3 episodes. Sometimes I'm an acquired taste, a little wacky at times, and what I like to do is help you flatten the learning curve of podcasting and just kind of let you know that you're never alone in your search of podcasting success. Speaking of podcasting success, really, if you're a regular listener of the show, you know that I normally have like a because of my podcast story or some sort of podcast success story. And really today, we're talking about that whole topic today with John Biscal. He does a great show called Online Marketing and Communications. You're going to hear a really touching story, what one of his listeners did for him when he was having kind of a hard time. You'll hear about that. It's really touching, really cool. Lots of demonstrations about just, hey, that's the power of podcasting. Now, I do need to do a little bit of, I don't know what you would call this. I need a message out to members of the School of Podcasting, and that is we do our monthly roundtable where we get together. We now call them think tanks. And I want to let you know, if you're not getting my emails, you need to go in when you log into the School of Podcasting, click on my account and scroll down and make sure you have that checkbox to get the updates, because I will send out a link to join that and let you schedule it. So make sure that is checked. And I also put it in our private Facebook group. So when you log in, you'll see a link to that. So if you're not getting those notifications, please do so. Also, if you go in, click on my accounts, you'll see a link for your affiliate stats. Now, this applies to everybody. Maybe you did or did not know. You can be an affiliate for the School of Podcasting. And if somebody signs up, you earn a commission. And if you're interested in that, again, I'll put links to this out in the show notes, schoolofpodcasting.com/408. But you'll see a link for, I believe it's either partners or affiliates at the bottom of the page when you go out to the School of Podcasting. So if you're a person that likes the School of Podcasting and you've been telling your friends about it, first things first, thank you very, very much. That's one of the most powerful, speaking of marketing, one of the most powerful ways of marketing is, of course, word of mouth. And why shouldn't you earn a small commission if somebody signs up? So I wanted to get that up front because I've had some people ask about that, and I can't send you an email with an update if you're not scheduled to get the update on that. So I'm like, well, I guess I'll put it out in the podcast. And as I record this, it is Mother's Day, and I want to promote one of my shows. Here's a little clip from Building a Better Dave.
Live from the basement, it's Building a Better Dave.
I played a junior high talent show, and we brought in our own sound system, and we basically made everyone deaf. I mean, the speakers were huge, and you know, and I've got an audio tape of that. And there's Mom in the front row on the balcony. And guess who's hanging out with Mom? My friends. So again, it's Super Mom in the balcony. She taught me to jitterbug to Van Halen's Ice Cream Man. You know, the typical response would have been, turn that racket off. My mom walks in and goes, hey, you know what? You could jitterbug to this. Move the coffee table. So again, she was kind of fun. So my early 20s, I was making the big money working in a grocery store, and I moved in with Doug, which was great because you could like supper was like RC Cola and pudding. You know? And I'm not kidding.
Check us out at betterdave.com.
There you go. You can find that over at betterdave.com. And Doug, in that case, is my brother. So if you've ever wondered what it was like, if you want to hear about me basically growing up, I talk about my mom in that actually lets you know what that is. That is a sermon. I should let you know that. That is the very first sermon ever that I did in the church that I was going to. They asked me to do a sermon called What My Mother Meant to Me. Now, realize my mother died in 1989. I was 24 at the time. And so I kind of said, oh, you just want me to stand up and cry for an hour. But it actually turned out to be kind of funny, as you heard in that clip. So if you're interested in that, check it out, betterdave.com. So I want to get to our discussion with John about he has some great examples of using podcasting in your business. But again, it shows about the personal connection that you can make and the doors that will be open. It's amazing to hear some of the great opportunities that have happened because of podcasting. All right. Well, joining me via Skype all the way from Sweden, you're actually the second person today I've spoken with. That's one thing that's great about podcasting. It's global, from Sweden. This is a lot of fun. He does one of my favorite podcasts, Online Marketing and Communications. Always just right to the point, great stuff, but also with a great personal flair, which I love. You can find his website at Jontus Media. That's JONTUSmedia.com. John Biscal, thanks for coming on the show, buddy.
Thank you, Dave. I'm excited to be on one of my favorite shows, so thanks very much.
Let's start off with your personal kind of approach. What do you refer to your studio as?
The Doghouse Studio. I'm, apart from running a marketing company, I'm a Basset Hound breeder. I only have three Bassets, three generations. I had four. I lost the apple of my eye, Aggie, in January. But I always call it the Doghouse Studio because when I'm standing here at one of those wonderful IKEA desks, because in Sweden you have to have things from IKEA. And I've got three Basset Hounds right under my feet, and hopefully they won't snore.
I got to say, because it's funny, because there are times when you'll be like, okay, so-and-so is doing something, and I'll put my hand over my ears, and a lot of times I can't hear it. So it's I'm sure you're like, oh, that's got to be enormously loud on the tape. And I'm like, no, I don't hear it.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was one of the reasons that I bought the DBX 286S, which you mentioned in the show the other week, you know, just to gate out what I thought was some of the bone scratching. We have wooden floors in the house here, and of course, doggy nails tend to echo a bit too. So I tried to, you know, but for me, they make running my business, doing my podcast, living my life. The Bassets, the Hounds, they are such an important part of my life.
Well, since we're talking about your noise gate, what microphone are you using?
I am using an RE20, Electro Voice RE20. When I first started out, I used the Heil PL40, but I found that although I liked it very much, it was a little high on the sibilance for my voice. I started getting paranoid that I had a slight lisp or that I was over-essing, and I drove everyone crazy around me by going around making S sounds continually saying, do I have a speech impediment? But I just found that going to the Electro Voice or the Rode Procaster, which is another great mic, which I also use a lot, either of those are much better on the sibilance for my voice.
And I think a lot of times, as much as we all, you know, the Heil PR40 gets mentioned a lot is this is the microphone. A lot of it is going to depend on your voice. We all have different tones and things like that. And microphones are set to pick up a certain frequency. And it may just be that this is a great microphone, but it's not a great microphone, you know, based on your voice. So that's an interesting concept. I'm glad you shared that because I've always wondered about that.
Thank you.
And you are officially a true podcaster if you've got a drawer full of microphones. So that's the other thing.
Yeah, I think I've got to the stage now, Dave, where when I get deliveries of microphones, my wife never listens to podcasts. She listens to Audible, books from audible.com. Right. That is her life. But I get to sneak the microphones into the house when she's not here.
That should be a podcast in itself. Strategies for sneaking gear into the house. Well, tell us a little bit about your company.
Okay, well, like you said, my company's Jontus Media, and I started it in 2004. I'm an academic by training. I started out working in the university world. I picked up a PhD along the way. I was doing huge amounts of teaching. And then one day, I realized that I was spending more time talking about what I do and helping other people to communicate than doing it myself. So I was doing lots of marketing and building websites and things on the side. So one day I just upped and walked out. And a lot of people thought I was completely crazy to do that, because in Sweden, if you work in the university, it's, you know, it's a tenured job. You feel good for life kind of thing. And I walked out and started my own business, which isn't such the entrepreneurial spirit that you have in America and other places in Europe. It's not such a key Swedish thing. I think the state is the biggest employer in Sweden. So I started on my own. I set out. I'm multilingual, so I started out doing lots of translations to pay the bills. And I'd been working as a journalist for many years, doing lots of freelance work for international newspapers, you know, just writing articles off the whenever there was a murder or some celebrity that needed something, they sent me off, and I'd do it in my spare time. And over the course of a year to 2 years, I realized that my passion was in for communications and helping people reach out with their messages. And as the industry grew and changed, by 2007, I was really, you know, doing internet marketing, helping people write for the web, helping people set up WordPress, helping people communicate. And it's really gone from there as the industry has changed. And in the last three years, it's really taken off for me personally and my company. And now in, where are we? We're 2014. I have Juanjo, who will be listening to this, so hello, who sits in Barcelona and works with me every day. He and I are a seven-days-a-week team, basically. He is the creative genius behind Juntos Media. And I have three other people who work for me, one other who works full-time and two other that work part-time. So by hocus pocus, by bits of podcasting, by embracing creativity and strategy, I've grown my business. And with the dogs under the table, Dave, I'm living the dream.
What year did you start podcasting?
And I think it's about 2.5 years ago. If I look back, two and a half, maybe 3 years ago, because I was definitely podcasting in 2011, because I was making a podcast for a canine behaviorist in the UK who I'd got in touch with, and we managed to get the best British business podcast for a podcast about dogs in 2011 at the European Podcast Awards. So I've been podcasting at least since 2011.
Did you see when you started your podcast, obviously your business had been going for a little while then, when you started the podcast, was there a noticeable before and after snapshot?
Yeah, there was. I was listening to podcasts a lot. I'd suddenly discovered them. I got my first iPhone, actually. And I'd done a lot of speaking. I've done a lot of speaking in my time as an academic. And so I thought, hey, I'm going to try this myself. So I went out and bought a microphone and a recorder, a Zoom, which I'd heard about. And I recorded some audio and I put it out on my website, and literally within 2 weeks, I had got two really high-paying consultancy jobs from two of Sweden's biggest universities, because I had done a lot of academic work and helping universities market themselves internationally through the work that I've been doing through my company, that putting just this audio on my website, that standard search brought people to my website. They clicked on the audio, listened, and contacted me. And I thought, this is going to be massive. So I went out and bought everything that I could find, read and listened to everything I could find, including a certain podcast by some guy called Dave Jackson in Ohio, who I've, you know.
He's a hack.
And started a podcast. And very, very quickly, after word of mouth, it became the biggest form of lead generation for my company. And I can say, here in 2014, we just brought on a new client onto the company roster from the States, quite a big app development company. And the first thing they said to us was, yeah, we've been listening to the podcast for a year, and, you know, we just feel that we trust you completely. We know everything about you. So, you know, here's the password, go out and buy everything that we need for our domain hosting for the next project. And, you know, we trust you. And that for me is podcasting.
I always find it interesting when somebody quotes me to me. Like, it just shows you, like you said, the trust is there. That's a great example. Like you said, they just said, oh, here's the keys to the kingdom. Go ahead and go. We trust you.
Absolutely. I think for a marketing company nowadays, we can compete on an international level that it doesn't matter where you are. If you sit down and search in Google for a keyword, or if you're on social media sites like Twitter or Google Plus or LinkedIn, things pop in front of you. And it's about differentiation. It's about standing out. And podcast, it's a way that as I say, someone comes into your website, they see that button that's for audio. They click on it and they will listen to you. And some people are going to go, I love this guy. And other people are going to go, oh my God, he's an absolute idiot. But the ones that hang around form a connection to you, and you never know when they're going to come back. It can be a year. It can be 2 years down the line. But when they do, it always blows me away. Wow. How did we get this job? Oh, we listened to your podcast. It happens so many times.
The personal connection. One of the things that got me, you mentioned that unfortunately you lost one of your hounds not too long ago, but tell the story of what one of your listeners did.
Oh, that's an amazing story, Dave. I talked about Aggie on the podcast. She died January the 15th, and I mentioned that her cancer had come back, and Yannis Popoulidis, who is a really, really respected and well-known photographer here in Stockholm in Sweden, he contacted me and said, John, I listen to the podcast every week. I love what you do. Would you like to come down to the studio and have some photographs taken with Aggie, you know, while she still can, because I'd love for you to have a memento. I'd like to offer you this. And I was so touched. And of course, I took Aggie down there while she could still do it. And it was a great day. She loved his studio. It was huge. She was more interested in sniffing out the bin and and munching her way around the studio. And Yannis took some photographs. And now on my wall, you know, Aggie is in the Doghouse studio because of my podcast, because a professional photographer listened to the show, felt that I had offered something through what I was doing and felt a connection, and reached out to me in what was a very, very difficult moment. You know, 2 weeks later, she was gone, but, you know, she's there on the wall now.
Yeah, it's, to me, it was just such a great example of the law of, I can never say this word, reciprocity. You know, that because you've done something nice for your listeners, you know, you've provided value to everyone who listens. This person, I know my heart went out when I heard about your dog, because I just lost mine recently when she had passed. I was like, oh, I hate to hear my friend John going through such a tough time. So I knew what you were going through. So it really does create a connection with folks. So I just, when I heard that story, I was amazed.
Yeah, it is. And I don't think it's just I mean, of course, we talk story. We tell stories. It's not just a story. It's, for me, it's something that's fundamental about podcasting, as in a marketing sense, really. If we step back from that, because we make podcasts for clients as well. Like I mentioned, I did it for a canine behaviorist in the UK, the Wild Poor Dog podcast. This was someone who contacted me on Twitter. We got talking, and I said to her, you know, I really think a podcast would help your business. She helps people with problem dogs. And by starting a podcast, she was able to share her expertise with a huge community for free. Now, it was she was bringing in clients too. It showed who she was, but she was helping so many people and enriching their lives. And I think so many of us are in business. We're not in business just to make money. We're in business to enjoy ourselves, to have a good life, and to help people, and to feel that smile. And for her, that was such an important thing to get into. And similarly, we work with a boarding school here in Sweden, a private boarding school. And we make a weekly podcast for them. And it's just so amazing to get feedback from parents around the world who say, I love listening to the stories from the school that my daughter tells me about. I hear the voices myself. I'm able to go, oh, wow, that's the person that she talks about. And again, it's like audio brings the world together. I truly believe that.
I love that phrase you said, feel the smile. I was like, I'm going to somehow work that into my vocabulary. I'm going to borrow that, if that's okay.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
Well, going back to the podcast you help about, you know, dogs that need some, you know, help. What about the person that says, well, if I give all my tips away on a podcast, why are they going to hire me?
That's a big issue. People sort of say, am I going to be giving the farm away? And there is a reticence there, I think, from people. But I always say, you only have so many hours in the day. If you're in the service industry, like someone like a dog trainer, or if you're a dentist, or if you're an accountant, a lawyer, the tips and advice that you give away, the insight into solving people's problems, you can't do that for everyone in the world. You can't work so much. And I really think that what it enables you to do is to find the clients, to connect with the clients. And I can really see that it builds a chain of connections that for me is about positivity. I don't see it as something that you need to do to create a whole bunch of products, to upsell, to continually pitch. I see that podcasting can be, no matter the size of your business, it can be something that gives you a starting point in business, a place to grow. But I don't think you're giving away everything, because you can't have every customer in the world. Simple as that. Even McDonald's can't have every customer in the world.
Well, that, and if they have an episode that somewhat addresses something that maybe somebody's having with their dog, if you ask a podcast a question, it will give you the same answer. So it's not quite the same as having you there live. And that's where that then leads them back to get to you live.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, for example, with Karen with the show, she was based in a particular area of the UK and she cannot get everywhere around the UK to help people. But what she could do by podcasting, because, you know, in a service industry like working with dogs, some kind of behavior, if you're a therapist, something like that, that really you're doing it because, not just because you love what you work with, but because you really care about enriching people's lives, you would rather put something out into the pond, which is a bit of goodness to help people, so that, well, they could go and contact a local trainer. It's better to teach people to reach out for help than it is to just insist that, well, you know, my precious, I can only have my knowledge for the local home base. Do you see what I mean?
Sure. Absolutely. I don't know, call it what you want, karma or just.
I think so. Even big businesses think about this too. They are very cautious about giving everything away in a podcast. I was talking to someone in one of the biggest real estate companies in Sweden, and I said, it's not about giving tips away to buy the best house or giving tips away to get good deals, because that's what they were, you know, they were concerned about. I said, make it infotainment, how to style your house, how to have a beautiful house in Sweden by the lakes. Do something like that that shows that you're a brand that cares, that is exciting, that is fun. Soap operas came about today, not because that the soap powder companies thought, we've got to talk about soap. They thought, let's make great TV shows about life, and associated that with their product.
Absolutely. And it just so happened that in between every, whatever, 7 or 8 minutes, they'd throw their product in there. So
Exactly. But I don't, you know, let's not have too many adverts in podcasting. I don't want to suggest that to people.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you do have a free guide on your website. Again, it's jauntismedia.com. It's called How to Podcast for Business. Do you have some other examples of folks you've helped that if somebody's sitting here thinking, well, maybe my business should jump into this?
Do you want to talk about a nonprofit organization, or do you want to talk about a for-profit organization?
Let's go for-profit, because nobody wants to admit it, but we all want to make money. So let's go that route first.
Okay, sure. It was a company, I can't mention them by name because of non-disclosure agreements, but it was a company that were looking to transition from traditional PR to digital. The PR industry has changed. It used to be that you could call up people, you could get people in the newspaper just by paying for that big spread. And the industry was changing, and they suddenly found themselves falling behind the by the wayside. You know, that they the companies were going to the cool kids. They were going to the people that were in their 20s and 30s who were associated with what was happening in IT and exciting online communications. And this agency were struggling because they were, well, you know, like you and I, Dave, they were a little bit gray in places. I don't have enough hair to be gray, but, you know, they were a bit gray. And so they weren't being taken seriously in the digital space because they didn't have a track record there. They weren't young, hip and cool. So what did they do? My pitch to them was, you've got stories about your business. You've got stories about the new industry. You've got stories that we can transition from the past to the new. And I said, you know, the best way to get that out is with a podcast. Don't tell people how to run a, how to use PR. Tell them to explore what's out there on the journey with digital PR. And so they started a podcast that was about the transition from traditional to new PR. And they started this podcast. We did some consulting with them, talked about editorial calendars. We talked about defining their voice, their audience. And here's a great tip that's not in the podcast book that, that you mentioned there. But my tip is, and I mentioned it on my own show this week, if you go out on the net and look for people who are trying to find answers to problems, places like Amazon. You know, if you want to have a healthy pooch, you go to Amazon, you find the book. And if you like the book, you write a review. And by looking on the net for the questions that people have, you can start to understand their voice. And it was the same with this company. There were people out there who were saying, you know, I don't understand how to use PR in my own, you know, in my business anymore. What do I do? Do I trust the young guys with IT? I've got to have a website, blah, blah, blah. Or is it all about the old stuff? And they looked at the questions people were asking, made an editorial calendar about that, used that as the basis for their content. And it helped them transition their business. They, like all traditional PR businesses, I think, that have gone through changes, things didn't quite work out for the team. They were a small bunch of consultants, but it enabled the owner to transition into speaking. And the conference circuit is a very, very lucrative circuit if you can get onto as a speaker. It was a key transitioning tool that enabled them to find new audiences, to actually pitch conferences and say, look, I'm a trainer. I'm used to speaking. We've got an audience like this. And so that for me has been an incredibly, that for me is in itself an indication of the success of podcasting, as is the story of the canine consultant who managed to get a couple of book deals out of having a podcast. Hmm. So podcasts are really good. If it's okay, Dave, I'd like to tell you about the nonprofit example.
Because if you didn't, I was going to ask you if you didn't.
Well, I think this is also very applicable to business because it's an integrated example.
Okay,
I mentioned the school that we have as a client, and we handle everything for them. You know, we make brochures, we do their website, we write things, I have someone on the team, Estelle, who does the podcast. And what they wanted to do was they wanted to find a new market in China. And I have a podcast that I put out myself, which talks about this in some detail. But to give you the elevator version of the story, they wanted customers from China. We got them to start a podcast in August this year. They were going to, when the school term starts, they were going to China in October. We started the podcast. We immediately got to about 1,000 downloads per episode because the community, you know, it was an active community with a lot of alumni and people who were there, moms abroad wanting to listen. And so we started writing articles about the trip to China. We put adverts in the press in China that the school was going there to have a meeting. The school offers programs in English, so it's very attractive for international students. And I, being an ex-academic myself, I recorded an episode for the show in English about how to apply for universities. And I interviewed one of the key leaders of the school, the management of the school, Lena, who was going over there. I interviewed her about this trip. Now, I preach analytics are really important. And I was able to show the school after their trip to China just how the podcast had been a vital part of this integrated content marketing campaign. You could see that the episode that had been downloaded in Libsyn, which you recommend, and I know you have an affiliate link for Libsyn, so, you know, what's the Libsyn link?
It's just use the coupon code SOPFREE.
There you are. Libsyn, with Libsyn, it's got great stats, and I recommend it to anyone doing a podcast. I could see in Libsyn where the podcast about going to China, about applying to universities in English, about the school going there, how it had been downloaded in several cities where the school was going to on their tour. I could then see when Lena got back that people had listened to the show, they downloaded it, and we could follow the click-throughs to actually see them going through the application process. So as a way of getting people to the event, as a way of, you know, finding a space in the market, putting adverts out there, the podcast was an integral part of convincing several people to apply to the school. Now, you have to remember that one applicant brings in, well, effectively about the salary for a member of staff for a year. You know, you recruit certain numbers. So producing a podcast every week for the school as part of their marketing budget is not a massive amount. But as a strategic piece of content marketing, it promoted in the right way. It was a great way for the school to find the niche, to find an audience in China, in particular cities, to get people along and to reinforce the value of the school. So again, there's another great story, I think, about podcasting.
That's amazing. And yeah. I have to ask this question, otherwise my audience will beat me up. Are you using just Google Analytics to get that kind of information, or are you using another tool? Or
I'm using Google Analytics. I'm using Google Analytics combined with Libsyn, but this is a lot of custom tracking. One of the great things with Google Analytics, and here's a tip here, there is an absolute array of free custom templates that you can have for goals. Lots of people don't know this. Just Google things like, you know, free analytics templates for Google Analytics, and you can get goal setups. So if you've got a landing page, and if you tag the download file with, you know, what you're putting out there on Libsyn, if you use that URL to create a custom tag in Google Analytics, you can see all the click-throughs. It's a great way of working. It enables us as a company to go to the powers that be who work with their marketing budgets and say, look, see, the podcast's of value.
There is a lot of, I think it's Google has Analytics University or something like that, that has, it's all very kind of generic. Here's what you do. It's not very specific. They have a couple different examples of a fake company or things like that. But
it is a real learning curve. If you're a self-starter, if you're a bootstrapper, if you're doing it yourself, it is phenomenally, I think it's a phenomenal undertaking, because Google Analytics changes all the time. Avinash Kushak, who is, for me, he blogs at, I think it's Occam's Razor. He is, I think, the number one guru on Google Analytics best practice, and he keeps you up to date with the right kind of custom goals to run. He's the person that I would follow and not just fall into going through Google's trainings itself, because that can, you know, that's a massive undertaking. Identify your goals, find out what you want to achieve, and, you know, delve into it. Like you said, it's an information product in itself, Dave.
Yeah, it is. One of the other things I love about your show is you talk about marketing, and like you said, you had a great episode on 5 things to learn about your target audience. But you also, obviously, I think, are a bit of a geek like myself. You like technology. I loved your episode with the guy from Snip.ly. What are some of your favorite tools that you use?
Well, Snip, I have to say, to just, as you mentioned, the URL shortener episode, it was an interview with Michael Cheng, who's launched with a couple of friends, Snipply, snip.ly, which is a link shortener, which enables you to put in a message. When people click through to the page that you've shortened the link to, there's a message in the bottom of the page from you, and you can put a call to action there, et cetera, et cetera. Here's another good thing about the podcasting, Dave, which I think people should remember, because it might help them if their podcasters get more interviews. And I know you guys that listen to the show will be thinking, how do I get an interview? How do I get this person on my show? Michael came back to me this week and he said, John, I just want to say to you, I've listened to the interview with you so many times. It has helped clarify my product to me and has enabled me to pitch my product to more audiences. Isn't that, Dave, a testament about the power of podcasting again?
Yeah, it is. And the he's listening to himself. That's interesting.
I know. So that's one of my tools. I love Snipply. It's a great way of getting call to actions. My favorite tools, WordPress websites. I love WordPress. It's very good for SEO. It's very good for enabling a platform for yourself. Your business has to have a platform, home base. Unbounce landing pages. Unbounce is a brilliant, brilliant, easy way for bootstrappers or agencies to make landing pages. And I think the thing that I see so many times with customers is we're out there, we produce masses of content, whether it's podcasts, videos, blog posts, or social media, and we don't look at the funnel, the sales funnel that we have. We are missing the opportunity to get people into a funnel to purchase from us, whether it's products or get engaged with to get our services. And Unbounced, which is a landing page tool, is perfect for that. It opens up your mind to thinking, I get people to my site, I then convert them. That's a brilliant tool. So WordPress, Unbounce, Adobe Audition for editing a podcast. That's a tool that I couldn't live without. I think it's great. And we're beginning to do more and more videos. So Final Cut Pro, that's another big tool there. Any other? I mean, we're so eclectic. Is there a particular tool in a particular area of marketing that you'd like to know about?
No, I just thought I'd pull the top off off the top of your head. You know, we could sit here for an hour and talk about Twitter and Facebook and Pinterest. And, you know, I just wasn't sure what you used on a daily basis or just the one.
On a daily basis, WordPress, of course, Unbounce landing pages. Unbounce is brilliant, tied in with MailChimp. There's no point for a small business investing in these massive things like Infusionsoft or HubSpot. They want masses of money. And really, you've got to have $150,000 coming in a year before you even think about investing in that kind of solution.
Sure. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I definitely listen to yours. It's number one, you have a very warm voice.
Thank you.
It's pleasant to listen to. How much time does it take to put together an episode?
It takes a couple of dog walks, so that's a good couple of 40-minute walks. And then it takes me, I would say, probably about 30 minutes to go through and just flesh out some bullet points. So we two dog walks at 40 minutes each and talking through some of the ideas into my iPhone so I can listen back. I kind of do a prep as I'm doing that. Now, Dave, now I've got Winnie yawning here, which maybe you're not picking up on the mic,
no.
But this is the dog has to. So I do that. Then I do a bit of prep and then to record. It depends because I do interviews some weeks and an interview show is much easier to do because then I have the questions and it's about the interaction. And so then it's really just recording it and maybe about half an hour editing. Solo shows take much longer because I have to prepare and I want people to have a takeaway. And in the act of recording, you know, I feel a bit of an idiot sometimes standing here and talking into the microphone. And when I record interviews, I record them through a mixer and go into the Zoom. I go into the Zoom to record because I pan left and right to have my voice on one channel and the other. But when I record a solo show, I use my Sapphire Pro recording straight into Adobe because then I can stop and do bits. There you are. There's the secret confession of a podcaster from Sweden. I stumble over things. I get cross with myself. I stop and start again. And so those shows can take an hour, or sometimes I knock it out of the park and it's 25 minutes. But so anywhere between an hour and 3 hours. I don't think I've ever gone over 3 hours.
And then how long is your show typically?
Somewhere around 20 to 25 minutes.
Okay.
Customer podcasts are easier to do I find. Maybe I'm more of a perfectionist for myself.
We're all our worst critic. Yeah, and while we're doing podcaster confessions, I did an episode where I jokingly called it my NPR style, where I had interviewed numerous people and pulled them all. I did one topic, but I had three different guests, and I went back and pulled what I thought were their best answers and weaved them through a story. And I recorded that episode no less than four times. The fourth time I finally went, the third one was perfect, except I had, I was using my iPad to play the sound clips and I forgot which ones I had played and which ones I hadn't. So I actually went back the fourth time because after listening to it, I had forgotten one clip, which was probably all of, I don't know, a minute, 5 seconds, but I wanted to use everything. And so I went back. It's the only bad news of kind of recording things live. I could have easily gone back and just inserted that, but I was like, nah, let's do it again. Now, on the other hand, it seemed to, I had a lot of people comment on that, that, hey, that was a really cool show. I like the fact that you kind of switched up your format a little bit. It was funny because I kept having this, one of the people I interviewed, his name is Ryan Parker, said, you know, if you try something in your podcast and it doesn't work, or in this case, we're talking about taking a temporary hiatus from podcasting, nobody's going to punch you in the face. So I kept playing that sound clip and people kept saying that made them giggle. And so in the end, you know, putting in a little extra time created, at least from what I've seen from my email, content that people liked. So what do you think that podcasters can do to better engage their audience?
That's a really, really tough question. And I think it's one that all of us as podcasters grapple with. I'm sure everyone listens to other people's shows. And every time they get that person mentions, hey, I've got a response from, or I've got a feedback from, that someone goes, how do they get that? How do I get that? How can I get more of that? That's a really, really difficult one. I think for me, it comes from what I would like to call carefrontation.
Carefrontation.
Carefrontation. Okay. You know, not confrontation. Mm-hmm. Confrontation is having a bit of a kick. It's, you know, like when you want to say, well, if I say, I'm John and I'm a real expert at carefrontation. Care, I care about people. So I want to ooze, I want to give a sense of that I care about you, that I care about my audience, and that I really want to help you improve what you're doing. But also, I want to, the confrontation part of it is, come on, you've got to take action. You've got to take action. So I think for me, about getting people to engage, to care for my audience, to engage with my audience, to connect more with my audience, is I try and take an approach of carefrontation. I try and show that I care about people and I connect with them on Twitter and I always reply personally in email. And, you know, I'll really take the time to get to know someone one person at a time that reaches out. But also, I've got that bit of confrontation in the sense that I'll say, you've contacted me about the podcast. You want to take things to the next level. God, I hate that phrase. This is what you need to do. You know, let's do this. When are you going to do this? Did you do this? And I use a CRM. I use Nimble to remind me to contact people that contact me, to come back to them a few weeks or a few months later and say, did you do that? Did you do that? And then people say, ah, John, I didn't. Oh, and I've just started listening to the show again. Thanks. I'm just working back through those things. I find that really helps. So carefrontation, that's my tip.
I like that. And the other thing you said is you have to prompt them to, it's time to take action. And I always tell people, if you want engagement, rarely does it happen without you somehow asking for it.
Absolutely. I think you do have to step back and look at the strategies that you are using to reach people. I don't know about you, Dave, but so many in the podcast space at the moment I think it's very interesting because it's kind of plateauing, not in terms of the uptake of podcasts, but we're not seeing people do new things. Mm-hmm. What we're seeing is we're seeing people close their shows in the same kind of way. Hey, contact me on this, retweet this, or share the love, or write me a review. We're seeing the same things again and again and again. And I think this goes back to that carefrontation thing for me. The confrontation, the carefrontation, if you care about your show and offering the best things for your audience, you've got to be self-critical. We are lifelong learners. those of us that are podcasters, we are lifelong learners. We want to learn about podcasting. We want to learn about our topic, whether it's a hobby podcast, a business podcast. We constantly want to be doing something better. And I think that we need to step back from our own show, to step back from what we're doing and say, how can I be better for my audience? Even from a business perspective, because I think it's answering business problems, issues. We do business with people. We don't do business with androids. And what drives business is helping solve things for people. And by stepping back and being, you know, carefrontation to ourselves. Okay, John, that's lovely. I think you're doing a lovely job. The sound's great, but boy, you're not doing this. You didn't do this. Come on, let's take it. Let's up the game. So I think that's super important.
Well, one of the things you said when you're out thinking through your episode and you're walking the dog is you said, and I want to make sure there's a takeaway. And that is sometimes I think people, they'll tell a story or they'll have some sort of content. But in the end, I always go, well, what do you want your audience to do with that? Or how do you want them to feel? Or like, what's the point of that? You put the words out, but what are you trying to accomplish here? And so when you said that, there needs to be a takeaway. That's actually something sometimes that I need to go back and remember. Oh, okay. I'm assuming in Sweden, have you guys heard of Jerry Springer?
I know who he is. I've never seen it, anything.
Yeah, you're not missing anything. But at the end, Jerry looks in the camera and goes, what did we learn today? And to me, I always think I need to remember to go and kind of have a what did we learn today moment at the show. It's like, okay, you just gave me 30 minutes of your time. In case you haven't figured it out, here's what we learned today, and here's what you can take away.
Exactly. And I know, Dave, you're an educator as well, and that's one of the things that makes your show great, is that the level of education that comes into it. As educators, we say to ourselves, we want the audience to be mentally set. So, you know, the podcast starts, here's what we're going to do today. Here's what you're going to learn. I think that sets it up for the audience of, okay, this is what I want to get. And if you at the end of the show can reinforce that, hey, this is what you learned and you can take away and apply this, people have that kind of sense of closure. Mm-hmm. Dave said it's what it's going to be about. That's why I've actually shortened the intro to my show just recently, because I wanted to get straight to the point. I have to say, another confession, some of my favorite shows, some of my favorite podcasts are actually podcasts that wander and meander and have lots of conversations because, you know, I don't get out very much. But I also know that people who are busy and want to learn and want the absolute gold nuggets of the show, you know, that's why I made a strategic change. And I'm measuring the data now to see whether people stay longer on the show with a shorter introduction compared to how it used to be. And the way I'm doing that is by just focusing on the Stitcher platform. My podcast mm-hmm. downloaded quite a bit on Stitcher, although I've also just got an Android app for the first time. It's available in the app store. Sorry to plug. But,
oh, by all means.
But on Stitcher, you can see when people abandon your show, the time that people abandon your show, abandon listening. And I'm trying to see now whether having gone with a shorter, snappier introduction and really trying to get to the whole topic, whether that will have any impact. Maybe not.
Well, you'll have to give us an update when you get enough data to peek at that and let us know. I wanted a kind of your non-US opinion on like the state of podcasting on that side of the planet.
The state of podcasting of it in Europe.
Yeah, in Europe. Because I know now you just mentioned Mike and Isabella are doing the podcasters. Help me with the name. The UK podcasters.
Yeah, UK podcasters 2014, which it takes place in August 16th in the UK.
Yeah. And so how, because in the US, it just seems like, I know for myself, I usually, because I never stop talking about podcasting, will bring it up in a class. Like a couple weeks ago, I had about 20 people and I just said, hey, how many people in here have listened to a podcast? I'll do kind of an impromptu poll. And I'm having less and less people that go, what's a podcast? What's that kind of like on that side of the pond?
Well, here in Scandinavia, podcasting, I think, is very, very popular for people who are within the media. There is, you know, it's very difficult to survive as a writer or as a musician in Scandinavia, because, you know, if you're doing things in Swedish or Norwegian or Danish, you don't have, you can't sell globally. And it's been a way for people to find new markets, new audiences, and to sustain their careers and transition. And so there is a real interest in micro content in Scandinavia. And so podcasting is blooming. If you go into the iTunes store in Swedish, you'll find lots of artists and musicians and writers and bloggers, fashion bloggers who are doing personal. There's lots of creative things. What I don't see so much of in Scandinavia with podcasts, which I think is very different from the American scene, is there are not lots of interview shows. There are not lots of educational things. That's the big difference in Scandinavia. For Britain, I do listen to shows from Britain. I'm not part of the British podcasting scene. You know, I haven't lived in Britain for 25 years. You know, I'm a fake when it comes to the UK. And I'm just, you know, I'm so honored to be going to the UK to talk at UK podcasters there, because, you know, I don't know what I am. I'm an international European podcaster. That's how I see myself. But the state of podcasting in Europe, I don't know anyone that listens to podcasts, actually.
Okay. Well,
I don't.
Some people might hear that and think, oh, but I'm like, ah, there's a lot of room to grow then. That's the good news.
Well, I do, because I know that the Swedish, for example, this Swedish boarding school that we work for, you know, lots of the parents listen to that show. Lots of the alumni listen to that show. I don't know them personally. They're not my friends, you know. But if I think of my close group of friends, you know, I'm 40, 44, 45. Most people in that sort of age group are not listening to podcasts from what I know. And the teens, they're not doing it either. I can say for the Swedish businesses that we've used podcasting, it's been a success. So it's finding an audience. It is.
Hmm. I knew you would bring the gold, and you did. And the other thing that's it's just interesting is when I finally get to talk to somebody, when I listen to their podcast, it sounds silly, and I've had people say it to me, but you're just like you are on your podcast. And I do feel like I know you.
Well, thanks, Dave. Thanks. That's good. I have waved my hands around as much talking to you as I do when I stand here recording.
That's me. I occasionally bump mine, and I'm in a room alone, you know, and I'm still waving my hands and everything like that. So, yeah, everybody, check him out. It's Jontus Media. Again, that's JONTUSmedia.com. And a really nice, clean, great-looking website. He's got his podcast link right there in the upper right-hand corner, and that's where you'll find his book, How to Podcast for Business. You can find him in iTunes. Obviously, you can find him in Stitcher. And John Baskell, buddy, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Dave.
And there you have it. I hope you are taking notes. If not, just go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/408. Don't forget, you can sign up for our newsletter, and you'll actually have the show notes sent right to you. So I know you're probably in the car, maybe you're on a treadmill, maybe you're walking the dog, walking one of the hounds, and you're thinking, oh, I need to remember this. Well, just sign up for the newsletter and have those notes sent right to you. Just go to schoolofpodcasting.com/newsletter, and that will take you right to it. But man, don't you love the phrase, feel the smile? I love that phrase, feel the smile. Carefrontation, great stuff. I knew John was going to bring the gold, like I said there, and what a great guy. What an absolutely great guy. I love the story of the photographer. Wow, great stuff. So if you're looking to start a podcast, you know, I know of a place. It's schoolofpodcasting.com, and we've got everything you need there. Step-by-step tutorials. It will get you into the ball game, because you can't improve anything until you start it. And I would love to help you start a podcast. Simply go out to schoolofpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code LISTENER, LISTENER, and that'll save you a little bit on your first month. We always say if you go out there, you'll notice the first month is a little more expensive than the others. It's because I say come for the education, stay for the community. Now, if you don't have a website, well, then you need to email me with the phrase quick start. Quick start, right in the subject line. What this does is I will email you a link to where you can buy hosting through my affiliate link. I earn a commission. That's good for me. Now, what's good for you is you will actually send me the email that you get from the hosting company. I'll go install WordPress for you. I'll install a couple plugins for you so you can start podcasting. Obviously, you need to provide the graphics and all of the content. But I'll also give you a free month at the School of Podcasting, because you're like, well, great, now I have a website. What do I do with it? So you can actually go through those step-by-step tutorials. And you'll have, of course, little old me to help you through the entire process. So check that out over at schoolofpodcasting.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Next week, we're going to be talking about editing. Also, in the future, I'm still working on my comparison of different media hosts. And somewhere in the future, I'm going to talk about podcast alignment. And what I mean by this is, you know, you want to start a podcast. You have goals that you want your podcast to achieve. The question is your content in alignment with your goals? We'll be talking about that in the future as well. So thank you so much for tuning in. I want to thank everybody who's been going out to schoolofpodcasting.com/iTunes and writing reviews. We'll be acknowledging you also in a future episode. Right now, it's Mother's Day, and I got to run. And thank you to all the mothers out there. I know it is a thankless job. I know there are times when you think nobody cares. I'm here to tell you, you are the rock. You are the confidence of pretty much everybody that in the listening audience, I would think. At least my mom was. And don't ever feel taken for granted, because when you're gone, your kids are going to go, man, I didn't realize mom did all that stuff. So thank you so much to moms, and thank you so much for you listening. We'll see you again real soon with another episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. And until then, class is dismissed.